tell me, what do you do with witches? And what do you burn apart from witches?
More witches!
Wood! So, why do witches burn?
Because they're made of wood.
Good! Oh, yeah. So, logically,
if she weighs the same as a duck, she's made of wood.
And therefore...
A witch! A witch!
This little piece of reasoning is another clip from Monty Python, just like last week's episode 6. In Monty Python and the Holy Grail, a knight is explaining to the townspeople how they can tell, logically, whether this poor woman is a witch. And there's a whole chain of reasoning, starting from the fact that witches burn, and wood also burns. From this similarity, we're off and running, connecting wood to ducks, and ducks back to witches. Now, while there's clearly something going wrong here, it actually requires a little bit of thinking to figure out just where things have gone wrong. One of the places to start is the idea that witches are made of wood because, like wood, they have the property of being flammable. This is a misleading similarity. Just because they're both flammable doesn't mean they're both made of wood. Lots of other things are flammable which aren't made of wood. When we're trying to reason well, like when we're engaging in debate with other people, we want to avoid misleading similarities like this one. And according to Nyaya philosophers, one of the best ways to avoid bad reasoning is to be able to identify the ways that reasoning can go wrong. The way we can spot it in ourselves, well, that means we can also spot it in other people. And as it turns out, there are a lot of ways reasoning can go badly. Depending on how you count them, Nyaya philosophers identify 53 kinds of mistakes we can make in our reasoning. In this episode, we'll look at examples of two major kinds of errors, and in episode 8, we'll take up a few more. As a result, we'll be in a position to defend ourselves from bad reasoning, and maybe even defend ourselves from confused British knights. I'm Malcolm Keating, and you're listening to Sutras and Stuff. Before we dive into the ways the debate can go wrong, let's back up and remember one of the four ways of knowing that Nyaya philosophers accept. It's called anumana in Sanskrit, or in English, inference. Here's what we said way back in episode 2.
We are pretty good at learning about things because they are conceptually connected to other things. And so a standard example that Nyaya uses is that you could be walking down the street and you see billowing smoke rising above some hill somewhere in the distance, dark billowing smoke. And you will infer, probably without even consciously thinking much about it, that there's a fire there. And so in Nyaya's perspective, you are availing yourself of inference because you are recognizing that this thing you see, smoke, it has a conceptual connection to fire, such that when there is smoke of this sort, then there's fire. And so inference is the way that we navigate mentally these connections.
In episode 3, we talked about inference in a bit more detail. Professor Matthew Dasty, whom we just heard, gave us a succinct characterization of it.
Inference in its most basic structural form, and its most basic structural features involve three things. They involve an indicator, they involve something that is indicated by it, and it involves a relationship between the two.
Why am I reminding you about all of this? That's because for Nyaya philosophers, inference is one of the main tools in a debate. Suppose you and I are having a debate about whether there really is fire in the distance. I put forward the thesis that there is fire on the distant hill, and you put forward the counterthesis that there is not fire on that very same hill. You and I will then use inference to give reasons for our claims, and use reasons to show that the other person is incorrect. And so that means that one of the first ways that our reasoning can go wrong in a debate is if our inference has a problem. It isn't the only way, as we'll see, but it is a very important one. So as Professor Dasty says, inference involves an indicator, which is related to a thing that it indicates. The standard example in Nyaya is that smoke is an indicator for fire. In a debate, when I present my inference to you, I start with my thesis, there is fire on the hill, and I will then give a reason, because there is smoke on the hill. And I'll go on to explain, with an illustration, that when there is smoke, there is fire, just like in a campfire. So let's focus on the reason. If my reason is a genuine one, it will actually support my thesis. But sometimes I might make a mistake and use something that seems like a reason, but actually doesn't support the thesis. Nyaya philosophers call that a counterfeit reason or a pseudo-reason. They seem like a reason. I might start my sentence with the word because, and, well, the statement comes right after my thesis. But those two things aren't enough to make something a genuine reason. To take a silly and obvious example, if I say, there is fire on the hill because the hill is far away, well, you wouldn't think that the hill's being far away counts as a real reason to believe there's fire on it. Just because a hill is far away, that has nothing to do with there being fire on it. It's not an indicator for the thing I'm trying to show. Now, that's an easy example. But in ordinary life, just like with counterfeit bills, counterfeit reasons aren't always easy to spot. So here's Donald Trump arguing that he, not Joe Biden, won the U.S. election.
The Democrats had this election rigged right from the beginning. They used the pandemic, sometimes referred to as the China virus, where it originated, as an excuse to mail out tens of millions of ballots, which ultimately led to a big part of the fraud, a fraud that the whole world is watching.
Now, there's quite a lot going on in the speech that the current U.S. president made, and I'm not going to dig into all 46 minutes of it. But one inference that he seems to be making is this. Trump is the winner of the U.S. presidential election because the U.S. presidential election was rigged by Democrats. The thesis is that Trump is the winner, and it's supported by what's supposed to be a reason, that the U.S. presidential election was rigged by Democrats. However, according to Nyaya, this is a pseudo or a counterfeit reason. It's a particular kind of counterfeit reason that Nyaya philosophers call the unknown. To show that Trump won the election, we would need to know that the election was rigged by Democrats. This would be like how we can see smoke and infer that fire is present, even when we can't see the fire. We rely on something that we know, that we can perceive, for instance, to help us reason to something that we can't directly perceive. But in the political case, here's a problem. Nobody, absolutely nobody, has established that the election has been rigged by Democrats. Now, this isn't a political podcast, but I'll put it very strongly. There is absolutely no evidence of Democrats conspiring to rig an election on behalf of China. And even Republican appointees like Bill Barr, the United States Attorney General, have found no such evidence. That means that we can't use this as a reason to show that Trump won the election. It sounds like a reason, and Trump tries to use it like one, but on the Nyaya view of things, it's a counterfeit reason. There's another way that a reason can be counterfeit, and in Sanskrit it's called satpratipaksha. Here is Professor Stephen Phillips from UT Austin explaining it.
There's a really interesting defeater or fallacy called satpratipaksha, counter-inference, which shows that we are thinking about a social dimension of knowledge, so that if I infer on the basis of the belief that everything H is an S, and this thing right in front of me is an H, therefore it's an S, and then someone else says, yes, but everything that is a G is not an S. And this thing right here in front of us that you're talking about is a G, then I no longer know. Even if it's true, even if there's nothing wrong with my inference, then I no longer know by inference that this thing A is an S. It's just the controversy coming, the inference, the counter-inference coming from the opponent. I have to be able to refute that in order to have my bit of knowledge restored to its proper knowledge status.
What does that mean for the claim that we just heard? Well, Trump has been faced with counter-inferences that say Trump is not the winner of the U.S. presidential election because results of the presidential election have been certified by Republicans.
That Secretary of State, a Republican, recertified the results today after a second recount.
We have now counted legally cast ballots three times, and the results remain unchanged.
Now we have two opposing inferences. One has the thesis Trump won, and the other has the counter thesis Trump did not win. In this situation, until they can show that their opponent's inference has a flaw, neither person, the one holding the thesis or the one holding the counter thesis, is entitled to say that they know. After all, they just heard a reason that could make them doubt their thesis. Of course, in the real world, politicians like Trump and the Georgia Secretary of State shouldn't even rationally be in a position of doubt, as we heard on our episode on doubt. And that's because judges and election officials have in fact reconfirmed the results of the election. They've done what we talked about in that episode, which is to investigate when there is uncertainty. In any case, what we learn from Nyaya philosophers and their idea of a counterfeit reason is that just because someone sounds like they're giving a reason doesn't mean they're genuinely giving a reason. Fake smoke from a smoke machine isn't evidence of fire. And if someone gives us an inference that challenges our position, Nyaya philosophers think we need to be able to refute that inference before we can know that our position is true. Next time, we'll turn to some other ways that reasoning can go wrong in a debate beyond counterfeit reasons.